From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. Well, it's been more than a year of Russia, Russia, Russia in the U.S. media, as first the Hillary Clinton campaign and then the entire Western media have tried to take down President Donald Trump based on claims that his election was somehow arranged by collusion with Russia. The primary offense committed by the Russians, according to that narrative, is the release of DNC emails that were damaging to the Clinton campaign to WikiLeaks. As it turns out, it appears that Julian Assange is willing to name the source of those leaks, and it's not Russia. According to a report in the Daily Caller, Republican California Representative Donna Rohrabacher met with Assange Wednesday at the Ecuadorian embassy in London, where he first sought refuge in August of 2012 after facing charges from Sweden, which were subsequently dropped. According to that report, journalist Charles Johnson said that he arranged the meeting for Assange because the WikiLeaks chief wants to strike a deal with the U.S. so he can stop living in asylum. Rohrabacher's spokesperson Ken Grubbs reportedly told the Daily Caller, quote, "I can confirm that the meeting happened," closed quote, and he said that Johnson was in the meeting. Johnson said he arranged for the meeting to happen and that Rohrabacher would be the envoy in charge of bringing back a proposed deal to the Trump White House. After the Daily Caller broke the news of the meeting, Rohrabacher put out a statement saying that Assange, quote, "emphatically stated that the Russians were not involved in hacking or the disclosure of those emails," closed quote. Rohrabacher, Assange, and Johnson reportedly met for 3 hours. Rohrabacher is reportedly the first member of Congress to have visited Assange in exile. A press release from the congressman's office stated that Rohrabacher, quote, "plans to divulge more of what he found directly to President Trump," closed quote. Before reports had leaked, we spoke with journalist Joe Loria about a report that he filed earlier this week describing new revelations in the Seth Rich case. Rich was murdered last year in Washington, D.C. in what some have said was a botched robbery. However, according to reports, nothing was taken from him. He was an IT worker for the DNC, and there has been widespread speculation that he was the source of the leaks to Assange. Loria also authored a book entitled How I Lost by Hillary Clinton. The foreword to that book was written by none other than Julian Assange. Loria has been covering the Iraq War from, unlike most American journalists, inside Iraq. We caught up with him on Thursday and spoke with him via Skype about Seth Rich and Julian Assange and his book, How I Lost by Hillary Clinton. So, Joe, a new twist in the Seth Rich murder case. Why don't you first give us an outline of what the case itself is about, who Seth Rich was, and all of that, and then we'll get to the new twist, and then maybe a little larger look at some of the things in your book about Hillary Clinton's campaign entitled How I Lost.
Right. Well, this is a very complex story, so I will go through a very quick timeline, and then we can delve into it a bit more in detail if you want.
Good.
On June 12, 2016, Julian Assange said that he had some Clinton emails that he was going to release. About a month later, on July 10, 2016, a young man named Seth Rich, he was the Democratic National Committee's voter expansion data director. He was murdered about 4 a.m. on a dark street in northwest Washington, D.C., where he lived. He'd been out drinking. The police said it was a botched robbery. Someone had tried to grab his watch, but they took nothing from him, his phone, his wallet. Nothing was taken. He was shot in the back twice. He died later in the hospital that night. That was July 10th. On July 22nd, WikiLeaks released the DNC emails, which forms the big basis of the book that you referred to that I wrote about, the DNC right. and Podesta emails. A couple of days later, the national DNC convention begins. They immediately blame Russia for having hacked this without giving any evidence whatsoever, which we can get into later as well. On August 9th, On August 9th, so about 2 or 3 weeks later, WikiLeaks offered on Twitter a $20,000 reward, leading to information to find out who killed Seth Rich. On that same day, August 9th, Assange was on a Dutch TV station and he was being interviewed. And out of nowhere, he just simply said this: whistleblowers go to significant efforts to get us material and often very significant risks. As a 27-year-old, works for the DNC, was shot in the back, murdered just a few weeks ago for unknown reasons as he was walking down the street in Washington. So the interviewer says, well, Seth Rich, you're a source of the DNC emails. He says, Assange says, we cannot reveal our sources. Why did he say this? Why did he put that out there without violating technically the WikiLeaks policy of not revealing their sources? On January 19 of this year, WikiLeaks upped that reward to $130,000 to find the killers.
Wow.
Killer or killers of Seth Rich. Then in May of 2017, and this is where it gets quite bizarre, Seymour Hersh, probably the best investigative reporter of his generation and ours, the guy who revealed CIA illegal activity inside the U.S. leading to the Church Committee and Rockefeller Commission, and all the things we then learned about the intelligence agencies, all the politically motivated crimes they'd committed, led to reforms, the FISA court, etc. The guy who revealed My Lai massacre and then Abu Ghraib torture. He speaks on the phone sometime in May, I don't know the exact date, with a guy called Ed Butovsky, who's a Republican donor and a sometimes unpaid Fox TV analyst. And Hersh says this to Butovsky, that the FBI found, looked in the computer of Seth Rich after the D.C. police were unable to get into some protected files. And this is, I'm quoting Hersh, but the FBI found what he'd done. He had submitted a series of documents, of emails, some of them juicy emails from the DNC. To whom? To WikiLeaks. He offered a sample, an extensive sample, you know, I'm sure dozens of emails, and said, I want money. Then later, WikiLeaks did get the passport. He had a Dropbox, a protected Dropbox. Hersh goes on to say WikiLeaks got access, and before he was killed, he also, and this is in the FBI report, he also let people know with whom he was dealing. He let some friends know. I don't know how he dealt with WikiLeaks, but the word was passed, according to the NSA report, I've also, quoting Rich, I've also shared this box with a couple of friends, so if anything happens to me, it's not going to solve your problem. Now, Hersh has only been talking about an FBI report. Suddenly he mentions an NSA report. Either he misspoke or the NSA listened in, of course, and was able to find out more about what Rich said and turn that over to the FBI. Sometime in May. Now, on May 10th, Butovsky, the Republican donor who was speaking to Hersh on the phone, he, Butovsky, and Malia Zimmerman, a Fox Network reporter, called Rod Wheeler, a D.C. Private detective, and told him that they had identified an FBI source who can confirm the emails between Rich and WikiLeaks. Okay? So it's not 100% certain that this is the same source that Hersh is talking about, because Hersh was basing this all, I didn't mention that part, which is important. He says, I have a source, I quote him, I have somebody on the inside who will go and read a file for me. This person is unbelievably accurate and careful. He's a very high-level guy, and he'll do a favor. You're just going to have to trust me. So he's basically coming off the FBI reports. Hersh is quoting in his conversation with Ed Butovsky that he's got a source inside the FBI who read the report to him. Now, Hersh doesn't say he saw the report himself. So Fox News has this story. On May 16th, they go on the air, and they quote an FBI source saying Rich had emailed an entire batch of DNC emails to WikiLeaks. It appears like it's the same source that Hersh was talking about.
Right.
But that's not completely known. of course, at that time, Rod Wheeler was quoted saying the same thing, but he was referring only to this FBI source, not a source he himself had. That was on May 16th. All hell broke loose. You know, the corporate media called this a conspiracy theory. Particularly one point about this. Now, your listeners might have thought, put two and two together and say, wait a minute. If Rich gave the emails to WikiLeaks and he gets murdered, what is the motive for this murder? Now, Hersh makes it clear in his conversation with Butovsky that he believes the police and the FBI that this was a botched robbery. So what he's saying was two things happened. Rich was the leaker, the source of the emails to the DNC, DNC emails to WikiLeaks, but he just happened to be murdered in a rough neighborhood in Washington, Northwest Washington. That's Hirsch's position. So that, in a way, you know, quells the conspiracy theories about this being some assassination by the Clintons, you know, and all that stuff. So you don't need to believe that he was murdered. And Hirsch is saying he was not murdered because he gave the emails. He was murdered in a robbery. But it happened to be that he was also the guy who gave WikiLeaks the emails.
Right.
So on May 23rd, after all this ruckus, Fox retracts the story. And they don't say why. They just say, vaguely say that it breached their editorial policy. But what has not been pointed out, and I pointed out in my article on Consortium News, the one you referred to here, is that Roger Ailes and Bill O'Reilly had just gone through this boycott, this strong ad boycott, that led to both of those guys, the chairman of the network and their top presenter, to resign. Now, that was over, of course, sexual harassment.
Right.
But Sean Hannity picked up this Seth Rich story, went with it every night, and he was really intent on getting to the bottom of this, and an ad boycott started to be organized against him. And Fox pulled the story, and he dropped the story.
Mm.
Now, I'm supposing that could be a motive for Fox dropping the story.
Right.
They say they're still investigating this. Malia Zimmerman, the reporter, insists that she has a source that the story is accurate. So I think it could have been that they didn't want to lose Hannity, too, and another ad boycott. That's just my supposition
here. Yeah, right.
So what we have now on August 1st, just 16 days ago, is that Wheeler sues Bertofsky and Fox saying that he was misquoted and that, in fact, this whole story was to deflect attention from Russia's guilt in giving the DNC emails to WikiLeaks. On that same day, of course, I have to tell you this aside, the Washington Post and other corporate media then tried to link this whole story to the White House because apparently Bertofsky had a meeting with Sean Spicer, the then White House spokesman, and told him that they were working on this story. Spicer says on the record now that Trump never found out about it, didn't go anywhere. But Bertofsky had told Wheeler, oh, the president is behind this, and now he says he was just fibbing about that. But this is a complete aside, but this is what the corporate media has reported on this whole thing. They've not mentioned Cy Hirsch at all. They are just talking about how this was a Trump operation, now, which there's no evidence for, except this remark that Bertofsky made. Hirsch did go on NPR to talk about this. They didn't get into any of these details that I am getting into right now. But Hirsch denied that he said that Bertofsky was taking 2 and 2 and getting 45. That he, right. These are all a bunch of rumors. So on August 1st, a website called Big League Politics, which I don't know anything about, it seems to be linked to this O'Keefe character, but they release an audio of Cy Hirsch saying all the things that I quoted earlier,
right.
That anyone can go on the internet and listen to. Mm-hmm. Now again, this O'Keefe and Veritas project has been sued and accused of doctoring tapes and whatnot. So I got in touch with Cy Hirsch, and I asked him about this, and he confirmed that was his voice. He said he was angry that that he was taped without his knowledge. So he was taped without his knowledge, and he said all these things. Will he comment more on it? No. He did say something to me that I didn't report in the story, which that it was him being dumb. I didn't write it because I wasn't sure what he felt he was being dumb about. Mm. Was he being dumb to speak without realizing it could have been recorded? Or I suspect that he's working on the story himself. Why would this guy have an FBI? He's a reporter. He's got this source. Why would he sit on this story? Or why would he talk to Bertofsky? There's a lot of unanswered questions about that. But what happened then was once he denied it to NPR, this Big League Politics, which obviously has a connection to Bertofsky because they got the audio tape, the secret audio tape. Right. Texas is a one-party state, by the way, so it was legal for them to record Hirsch without having to tell him.
I was going
to
ask.
And what they then did was release an email exchange that took place on June 2nd. So that's why I'm surmising that their conversation took place in May, because this email exchange refers to that telephone conversation, which was publicly released on August 1st, but it took place sometime in May, around the time Fox had their source. He says, Butovsky writes, I'm curious why you haven't approached the House committee telling them what you were read by your FBI friend related to Seth Rich that you in turn read to me. And Hirsch replies, Ed, you have a lousy memory. I was not read anything by my Facebook friend. My FBI friend. I have no firsthand information. I really wish you would stop telling others information that you think I have. Please stop relaying information that you do not have a right to and that I have no reason to believe is accurate. That tells me that it was the FBI, that this was Fox's source, because when he says, right. Stop relaying information to other people. Right. So I think Hirsch realized that his conversation with him, which he thought was off the record, a background, not being taped, suddenly becomes a Fox News story.
Oh, because he saw a Fox News story about an FBI source, and since he had said exactly that. Yeah, gotcha.
Yes. Yeah, this email exchange was June 2nd. The Fox story was May 16th.
Mm.
So he's telling him, shut up. Now, why is Hirsch? I asked Hirsch, was the recording doctored, in your opinion? He didn't answer that. He wouldn't say anything more. Excuse me. He is not talking, and I hope it is anyway, that he's planning his own story. That's pretty much where we are right now with this.
Mm.
Of course, yeah. You can ask me anything you want now because
no.
You know, Colleen Rowley tells me in the piece that Mueller, that the FBI should not be keeping this report secret if there is such a report. And she also thinks that the Rich family could sue to get this report in this Fox lawsuit as part of a discovery. So this is not over yet.
Yeah, you know, there are contradictions around all of that, too, with the family members and such. And, you know, one gets the sense, I mean, it's always hard to parse through these things. You know, the actual cloak and dagger stuff that does go on always looks like a conspiracy theory when you talk about it and when you try to, you know, take two and two and come up with four and maybe do a little algebra, too. You know, it always has like a ring of, you know, kind of shadiness or something. But there are a lot of markers of people being pressured to shut up. I mean, this seems like if Cy Hirsch is not doing this because he's working on a story, you know, the logical assumption is that then somebody told him, you got to put this fire out that you started. And there have been some turn, you know, about faces among family members, too, wanting to get to the bottom of it and then saying, you know, no, I never said that and that kind of a thing. So, let's say that he was murdered, and we know that part, and that he also is one of the sources or the source of the WikiLeaks emails. You know, first of all, the problem for the public narrative with him being the source is that means the Russians were not the source, and all that Russian meddling in the election thing, you know, boils down to the 3-year-old stories in by Abby Martin, who's been long gone from RT, that were cited in the, you know, the Intel report, quote unquote.
Right.
So in other words, Russiagate is a complete fable, and it's exposed that way. So that's one problem with that narrative. Another problem is that, of course, if he was the source and he was murdered that way, a botched robbery with nothing at all taken, etc., there's an investigation due there of that murder with the suspicion that it's connected to the leak. And that gives you a list of suspects, meaning, you know, who are the people that were damaged by that murder or who benefited from that murder, who were damaged by the disclosure. And that takes you right into the heart of the Democratic Party. You know, just for an investigation. You know, you would have to say, okay, well, who was angry over Seth releasing this stuff, or who was trying to prevent him from releasing more, which is also a possibility, by the way. And that takes you to the DNC, right? You know, that would be suspects I'm talking about for an investigation. Nothing more.
I think the real key is... Was he the source? Not was he killed because of that? I think.
Well,
it's, you know, because if it is, and Russia is the key here because of the incredible tension that's arisen between Russia and the U.S.
Agreed.
The first and the second nuclear armed powers in the world.
Right.
And the and it's been irresponsibly pumped out by people like Rachel Maddow and the rest of corporate media.
Insane.
Without any shred of evidence.
Right.
So this is some kind of evidence. At least Cy Hirsch is saying it. And the guy has a track record. I know that the corporate Western media has Absolutely no. Throwing him under the bus. He cannot get published in the U.S. anymore. But, I mean, I still, you know, I know what this guy has done in the past, and we all do. And it can't be easily dismissed what he said, even though he denied it himself in that email, because he didn't know he was being recorded. So the issue here is Russia. Was it somebody else other than Russia that gave the DNC emails? Now, Craig Murray, as you listeners know, of the former British ambassador to Uzbekistan and associate of Julian Assange, has said that he met one of the leakers. He says there were two leakers, one for the DNC and one for the Podesta emails. And he's met one of them. He doesn't say which one. He met him in a wooded area behind American University in Washington. And he did not say, or he will not say any more, there was a story in the Daily Mail in London that he was given a thumb drive, but he's not confirming that now. He's not saying that's what happened. Julian Assange got pissed off at him in that mail piece because he said as much as he did already. But was this a human leak or was this a hack? And this is really at the essence of it. But if we had a real media, Don, they would be asking these questions.
That's right.
Yeah, nobody knows exactly what happened, but we have to be investigated. They've just accepted what the most deceptive people around, the intelligence agents, are telling them without any skepticism whatsoever. And back in the 70s, when Hirsch really started going, there was a different attitude in the media, particularly after Church Committee. There was skepticism about authority. I think the popular culture then, the anti-war movement, all that had an effect. But today, it's all about status for corporate reporters, about access, you know, about money. And they just accept what they live vicariously through powerful people like John Brennan. Now, who feed them stuff so they can get on the front page. They said that the power that they have as reporters to cut these people, powerful people, down. They want to be part of that. They're involved in the establishment. Now, Hirsch, I didn't write about this, but the rest of his tape, anybody can listen to it, it's just filled with a lot of four-letter words. But he's calling Brennan full of shit, basically, that he's made all this up about Russia. There's a whole lot about Russia being a whole, and Rogers, that this is all bullshit. He's basically saying in his in the rest of the interview that it wasn't Russia, it was Seth Rich, and it's not being taken seriously. It's a conspiracy theory. Search Rich. Why? Because Fox retracted the story.
Right.
That's it. Once a story is killed, that's it. It is. But why did they retract that story? I'm suggesting it's because they didn't want another ad boycott.
Right.
Against Hannity.
Right.
Not because. And now they've said in reaction to this lawsuit that they're still investigating. So.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a a contextual condition of the other boycotts because of the sexual harassment cases that Fox was already vulnerable to that. There was a convergence of the people who were protesting Trump and the people who were helping to promote that boycott that easily shift to boycotting anything that, you know, basically.
Well, that's right.
Yep. And so, you know, if I'm one of the people at Fox looking at this, I'm saying, you know what, later for this, they're going to put us out of business if we keep this stuff up.
So. But Don, look at what this means. I mean, it's a legitimate complaint about sexual harassment to boycott somebody. But this is a story that a reporter or a presenter is digging into.
Absolutely. And not only that.
It needs to be reported. You boycott that.
Yeah.
That's a whole different thing.
No,
and
you have the risk of World War III involved on it too. And you have more going on here too. I mean, you also have, you were talking before about like the Church Committee, for example. You know, look at the role of the Washington Post then as opposed to now. And by the way,
absolutely,
the relationship between the Washington Post then and the Washington Post now with the CIA, you know.
I mean,
you have
these
actual.
Not the same papers. Not the same paper at all.
I mean, I'm talking about the financial relationship.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. CIA deal with the Bezos. I know.
Right.
$600 million deal to do their computer stuff.
Right.
But you know, the reporters at the Washington Post and the New York Times today and other networks, CBS, they're living off reputation from the 70s when there was an adversary relationship.
Right. That's right.
It's gone. The different publication.
Right.
But they still have this credibility because of those days. And they don't, in my book, they've lost and every day are losing credibility as well as amongst the American people. They get extremely low, you know, credibility ratings. And because people are not stupid. They know they're just listening and that they're being stenographic reporters here listening right. to. I saw it at the UN. I was a reporter 25 years at the UN for the Wall Street Journal, Boston Globe. I saw every day how my colleagues just took whatever was given them by diplomats and ran with it. Very little challenging of what they were saying. It was very frustrating. When I was the only one out there sometimes trying to question what a British ambassador or the Americans right. were telling us.
Yep.
And
yep.
that's the way the corporate media is. And they're not looking into this story. And they have killed this Sith Rich story because Fox had to retract it. And we don't know why yet. But I submit, as I say, I think it was because of the boycott. So, you know, the emails now, the content of the emails is what led Orr Books in New York to publish her emails from the leaks releases, and they asked me to annotate it, and I wrote about a 22,000-word annotation. Julian Assange has written the foreword. It's called How I Lost, and the subtitle is by Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And why do we say that? Because she wrote the emails and the speeches, based a lot on her Goldman Sachs and other Wall Street speeches, that I'm annotating. And you know, a lot of people think that's a fraudulent headline. Frankly, I think it's maybe too clever for a lot of people. Maybe it's too clever for us as well.
Maybe.
It's about why she lost. And she's a hawk. These emails confirm everything people who knew anything about her suspected, that she's a war hawk and she's an economic elitist. And she didn't care at all about average people.
Right.
And because of that, Trump was able cynically to use the opening that Clinton gave him to appeal to working class people on trade and other issues that he overlapped a little bit with Sanders. We now know that he was lying about most of this stuff, doesn't care. Look at what happened with the health care bill. He wants to take away health care from the people who voted for him. But Hillary Clinton has to be responsible, not blaming the FBI, James Comey, and not blaming Russia, but herself for being such a lousy candidate and being part of this neoliberal Democratic Party from the days of her husband in the 1990s when they formed the Democratic Leadership Council, whatever, and moved to the center and center-right. And this is what the book explains in great detail. And I go into Russia, and I go a lot into her foreign policy, and why Russia reacts the way they do to American moves against them, and try to look at it from a different point of view, not just the American version of events. And I think the book is a solid indictment of her and why she lost, frankly.
And the book is titled How I Lost by Hillary Clinton. Joe, thank you very much. Pleasure to speak with you.
You're quite welcome, Don. Same here.
Thanks.
All the best.
Thanks. That's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.